a very special guest on the program with us in this half hour. I know I'm excited. An Academy Award winning actor who is about to get another award tomorrow. He's going to receive the Monte Cristo Award from the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center. We are talking with Carl Malden. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am fine, and thank you for that introduction.
Thanks for being on the program with us.
It'll be a pleasure. Incidentally, it's very cold there. You ought to come here a while.
Well, it's plus two, but that's on the Celsius scale. It's 36 degrees.
I see.
It's not too bad. You have had a long and illustrious career, and I understand, I heard the term, somebody said that you retired, and you said, no, you didn't retire, you quit.
That's true.
What's the difference?
Well, after a while, you figure out, I've been here long enough, how many faces does an actor have? He can only show himself so many times, and since I'm 92 years old, I figured I'd had enough. I didn't quit, so I just quit.
You just quit?
Yes.
Do you miss it?
I wish I could tell you I did. Yes, I did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't now because this is an excuse. But, you know, in the business I'm in, I spent 20 years in New York. And every darn play I was in, I had to go on the road. I was on the road so much, I missed my family. The two daughters that I had, I never really knew them. And now I have granddaughters. And when you do films, you're always on location. So I was never home. Thank God for my wife who took care of everything. And now that I've been home these couple of years, I realize what I've missed. I'm beginning to know my family. I'm beginning to know my grandchildren better than I did my children. And it's really a different life. It is a beautiful life.
Now, I think the last time we saw you, I guess would have been, you did an episode of the West Wing playing a priest.
That's the last thing I did. And I did that because a favor for the president.
Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen, yes.
Okay. Going back to, and I grew up watching you on the streets of San Francisco like so many of my generation did. And the thing that was fascinating to me, because I'm a big film buff as well, so I'd seen your work in the streets of San Francisco and then learned about some of the things you'd done before that and decided to hunt out some of the other things you've done. I mean, I'd seen your Oscar-winning performance in A Streetcar Named Desire and some of the other roles that you played. Did you find that you got a whole new audience when you did television, which was basically, what, some 20 years after you won an Academy Award?
I think television is a complete new audience. Did you realize we did 26 episodes a year, and each one is done in 7 days? So it was like what I call stock.
Mm-hmm.
You never had time to really know what you were doing. You did it fast. You worked long hours. So it became a kind of job. And thank God I had a man who's going to introduce me tomorrow, Michael Douglas. And we had a wonderful time together for those 4 years. Michael left after the fourth year, and I had another year, and then I left. And it was a great experience to be with Michael because he was young. He kept me going, and I missed him very much, and I'm glad I'm going to see him tomorrow.
Excellent. Now, tell us about this Monte Cristo Award.
Well, the Monte, that's the Eugene O'Neill Award.
Mm-hmm.
It's an award given, this is a Life Achievement Award, and I'm so pleased to get it because the beginning of my career in the theater was a lot of Eugene O'Neill. I did a play of his in New York, and it was a great example. I did a lot of tributes to Eugene O'Neill when he died. And now, after all these years, they're giving me an honorary award, and I appreciate it.
Excellent. Now, in addition to all the work you've done on stage and television and films, were you not also at one point president of the Guild?
I was president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences for 3 years. That's right.
What exactly are the duties involved when you are the president of that auspicious body?
Well, I don't know what the duties are for the other presidents, but I'll tell you what mine was.
Okay.
I became president in the first year someone had a bright idea. We have a beautiful theater, film, movie theater. Said, the seats are terrible. They've been in there for 20 years. We've got to change them. So the board voted on changing the seats. Well, we changed the seats, and someone said, listen, while they're out, let's change the carpet. And the fellow says, fine, we'll change the carpet. And at the same time, we ought to have the curtain before the screen match the carpet. Good. Well, while everything is out and gutted, why don't we paint the house? So it started that way, and before it was done, the whole place cost about $7 million to fix. Then another thing we had, we have a library. I think it's a great film library in the country. And there was a fund for that, but nobody was doing anything about it. And I called the man who was in charge, and I said, what's happening? And he said, well, no one has asked me to do anything. Well, I'm asking you to do something. So he said, you've got to come with me. And for 3 years, we raised $12 million, and I had to go with him. And that's something that embarrassed me, but I did it. And we have now a beautiful library in California, in Los Angeles, and it's one of the top film libraries in the country. And I'm proud of that. So that was another $6 million. So whenever I met the board and I'd say, I'll be the president who bankrupt the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. So that was my reputation.
Now, if somebody out there decides to go out and rent all your films or some of your television shows, some of the work you've done, there's a little game that they can all play. I know I enjoy playing this game. I wait for the film, and you've done such films as we mentioned. There's On the Waterfront, Gypsy, How the West Was Won, Patton, and so many other great films. Streetcar Named Desire, which you won the Academy Award for. We like to sit down and watch and wait till you mention the name Sokolovich. Tell us about that.
Well, that's my real name.
Right.
And naturally, it was changed. And I felt when I had to change the name, I felt a little touched about it, and I thought maybe my father would say, well, what sort of thing is this? So I made it a point. The first time you'll hear it is an On the Waterfront. And it was put in there by the director to then. And then I thought, well, this is good. I'll put it in every picture I am in or any film I'm in. And I did. And I saw it and made sure there was a lot of... It's in Patton.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Birdman of Alcatraz. I couldn't find anywhere to say it. So I told the director or the prop man, I said, put a sign over one of the cells and put Sokolovich up there. So that when I brought in the new the man in charge... I started out Jim, Jack, Jackson, Sokolovich, went right down the line. And when my dad saw the film, he called me up immediately. He said, my son, I want you to know, he had a Turkish accent, I want you to know, a Sokolovich was never in prison. So that was the Sokolovich story.
Now, when did people start, when did others start noticing what you were doing? When did film buffs start noticing that you were doing this?
I think they didn't know it until about, maybe 3 or 4 years before I left the business. Because I never told anyone.
Well, we did catch on. We are talking here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800, with Carl Malden. We have about another 15 minutes to go with Carl. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. And if you recognize that music in the background, a Quinn Martin production, you remember the television series that Carl Malden was a star of for many years, The Streets of San Francisco. Carl is on the line with us right now. Someone like yourself who again, we mentioned the Academy Award, you know, a lot of times you hear stories about actors who kind of poo-poo the idea of doing a television series because they've had a career on the big screen and on Broadway. Was it a difficult prospect for you to want to come to television, or were you quite prepared to do it?
Well, I never did television before I did Streets. And I must admit, I am embarrassed to say, that I poo-pooed it also. I stayed away from it. But when the time came... I told the agent, I said, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it the right way. I'm either going to star or not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally got me this series, which I starred in with Michael. And it's one of the best things I ever did because I made a lot of money off of that show. It ran 5 years. And I followed that with a thing that ran 21 years. That's American Express Traveler's Checks.
Yes.
And I tell people even today, don't leave home without them.
Was that 21 years you did that?
I did that for 21 years. And between those two, I can say I'm sitting here talking to you right now.
Now, when you did The Streets of San Francisco, I heard a story, and maybe you can share that with us. You're doing the scenes with Michael Douglas, and Michael is a young whippersnapper behind the wheel of the car, and he just takes off down the road.
Oh, that was the first year.
The first year.
That was scary. We don't laugh at that much, but it happened. We went down a street, California Street, in San Francisco, Knob Hill. Now, you know San Francisco, first, is a lot of hills, up and down.
Right.
Steep hills. And Michael drives a car very well. He's a good driver. And he went down California, made a left turn in front of the hotel, and a half a block, and then there's a hill. And he didn't realize how steep. And he was going about 65 miles an hour, and before you know it, we were airborne. There was no street under us, no street. So finally, I looked at Michael, and I said, what the hell is this? I said, and he panicked, but thank God we landed safe and tore out the whole bottom of the car, but everything ended out all right.
Hmm.
But that's our first, one of the first episodes we did. From then on, we still go fast, but believe me, we made sure of where we were going.
Now, again, like I said, he's a young kid, one of his first gigs as an actor. You're one of the contemporaries of his dad.
Yes, I was.
Who was he more afraid of, the producer, the director, or you after that?
No, I don't. That's a tough one to answer. I don't think he was afraid of anybody.
Okay.
I don't. With me, there was no mention of fear at all. We just had such a wonderful time. And doing it, because it was hard work, and if we hadn't had a wonderful time, it would have been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But we worked well together, and I'll tell you how he got the job, but at least how it happened. The producer saw him. He called me to the office and said, I want you to meet a young man who I think will be good for you. I came to the office. I stepped inside, and I looked at him, and I said, he'll do. And the producer said, well, you haven't even talked to him. I said, I don't have to. I looked at Michael, and I said, no, I never met Michael before.
Mm-hmm.
I said, are you a Douglas? He said, yes. So the producer said, how did you know? I said, look at his chin. Look at that chin. Look at that. That's Michael. That's Kirk. And he was Kirk Douglas' son, and I said, that's good enough for me. Kirk and I started in summer stock together for a couple of years, and we've been very close and very... You know, he's a big star, and he went his way, and I went mine, but we see each other quite often.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned that with all the work you've done, all the traveling, all the sets, that you didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time with your daughters when they were growing up. You ended up writing or co-authoring your biography with your daughter.
I did.
Was that an opportunity while you were writing that book with your daughter to get to know each other?
Well, I did that when I the first thing I did was write the book, Memoirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it for about a month. She came over one day and said, how's it going? And I said, well, it's going pretty good. I'm happy. She went to go home and said, can I read what you've written? I gave it to her. She came back the next morning and said, can I come back here and do it with you? I said, how's that? I'll bring my laptop computer, and you tell me the stories. I said, sure. I said, but why? She said, I think you tell a better story than you write. So she sat in and did it, and I think it worked out that way much better. And I'm so pleased. It is true, if I may say so on your station, if you ever have an opportunity to work with one of your sons or daughters in a thing like that, do it. It's a great experience. We laughed, and we cried an awful lot, and I'm telling you, we know each other like we've never known each other before.
Mm. Now, in addition to doing stage, as you said you did earlier in your career, you also did a lot of radio, did you not?
I did. I shouldn't say I did, but I did do radio to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest shows I was on is a show called Our Gal Sunday. And I did that for a year. I was a heavy in that one. And right next door was a very dear, dear friend of mine, which we weren't then, but we got to know each other, was Front Page Farrell, starring Richard Widmark.
Oh, yes.
And between the shows, after the show, we'd go out and have a drink with the rest of the people. We'd go to a bar, and we'd sit at the bar, and I'd order a ginger ale, and he would order a glass of milk. And that was our association for years, and we still talk to each other an awful lot of time. He's in New York now, and I live here.
Was it a different time when it came to the actors working together, the camaraderie, than it is today?
I don't know what you mean by different times.
You know, you hear stories, and I've had a chance to talk to actors from different eras, and there just seems to be a more of a camaraderie in what people were doing, be it in Broadway or early television, early radio, than you seem to hear about today.
Well, the difficulty in our profession is when you get into a film will last maybe 10 weeks or 12 weeks to make. And in that time, you're working every day, long hours, and you become a family. Even the crew, everybody becomes one unit for that time. And when it's over, it's like a divorce. You don't see each other for a long time again. So you start all over. So you get to make a lot of friends, but really there's no friendship involved. But in the theater, if a play is a hit, you know, it runs 2 years, 3 years, you really become close to the people you're working with. So I think there was that, but it's a different business altogether today than what it was 30 years ago.
You mentioned that you started on Streets of San Francisco with a then unknown actor by the name of Michael Douglas. You've had an opportunity to work with some very talented unknowns early in their career. You started years ago. You did Streetcar Named Desire with a newcomer by the name of Marlon Brando.
Yes.
When you work with people like this, kids who are coming along,
not kids. They're grown up.
Yeah. Do you see the spark though? That can you look at somebody and say, oh, that person's going to be a star?
Well, I tell you what, I saw that in Marlon.
Mm-hmm.
He's a genius. I saw. We did two plays together, and we did three films together. And in the two plays, the first one, we both played small parts. And the scene he had was about 6 minutes long. And when the play stopped, when he left, the play stopped. I mean, the audience wouldn't let him leave. They clapped, shouted, stamped their feet. And I thought, well, this is sensational. And then I worked with him in Streetcar Named Desire. And I wanted to see whether it could happen again. I realized that he had something that no other actor I've ever worked with had. And I wish I knew what it was completely, because I would have stolen it and used it. but it's something that he does. Other people try to do it. They cannot do it. Only he can do it. And that is, on film, he can look at you and stop and look at you for a minute and a half, and is still alive. The boys are doing it today. They look and they look, but it's dead screen. It's a dead screen. Nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
He has something that I wish I could tell you his eyes, what it is. I've looked, I've worked, I've tried. It's an inner quality that he has that I wish I could explain it.
Well, I think you've explained it very well, and I also think you are selling yourself short by not saying that you don't have it yourself. Up to the very end, when I saw the episode where you did The West Wing,
yes.
There is a way that you do a scene that is believable and natural, and to me, it's not acting, it's Carl Malden. I wish you well with the award you're going to get tomorrow, the Monte Cristo Award, well deserved, and I thank you for taking the time to be on the program with us.
I had a pleasure talking to you, and keep warm.
We will.
Okay.
And enjoy the award, enjoy Michael, and enjoy your life. Thank you for being on the program with us, sir.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.